Welcome to Alternative Dog Moms Podcast. I'm Kimberly Gauthier, the creator of Keep the Tail Wagging. For the past 9 years, I've been blogging about raw feeding, pet wellness, and life as a crazy dog mom. I've seen massive improvements in my dog's health since I started raising my dogs naturally, and I'm passionate about sharing my experience to help other pet parents.
I'm Erin Scott. For the past 9 years, I've been researching and learning everything I can about healing cancer, allergies, autoimmune, and mystery illnesses in both my dogs and myself, and I can't wait to share with you everything I've learned on this journey. As the Alternative Dog Moms, we're bringing you all the latest dog health news that we're following and sharing the tips, tricks, and resources we learn along the way. Now, let's get started. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Erin. How's it going?
Good. It's been a while since it's been just us.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what in the world would we possibly talk about?
Oh, I feel like there's so much to catch up on.
So how are the dogs?
Oh, they're good. We have some progress that's been making where we've been able to let Nino and Nessie spend some time hanging out together some. Short periods of time, and they've been sunbathing by the front door. They've had some yard time. Nessie was like doing zoomies around the yard, and then Nino kind of got excited and was like kind of trying to do some zoomies, and then she was like, "Hell yeah, you want to play?" And she like slams into him, and he's like, "No." And he like went and ran behind Tim, and we were like, "Oh, okay." So anyway, that's like kind of the dynamic between them. But, you know, I feel like we're making a lot of progress and I'm really happy.
That's good to hear.
Like, I feel like I'm less hypervigilant. You know, I don't have to be as hypervigilant. So that is a good feeling.
Yeah. Zoe and I play soccer now. And it's just, I call the game soccer. And I have these little balls. I think they're from, Jolly Pet. I think they're Jolly Pet balls. And they're really cool because they're perfect size. They can't puncture them.
Are they red?
Yeah, I have a red one and a green one.
And Nino loves the red ones.
And they can get their teeth in them, but they never deflate or anything.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And so I will kick the ball and she'll run and grab it. And then she brings it back. She shakes it and she either drops it or she tries to get around me. So that's why I started calling it soccer. So she and I play this game every day. She loves it. I love it too. But one day I brought Apollo out because usually it's just either me and Zoe or I'll bring the girls out and I'll play with both of them and I walk Apollo. And the reason why is because since we don't have a fenced yard, I can't trust Apollo not to go say hi to people on the trail. So I have to have him on a leash if I'm just going to have him out on the property. Anyway, so I brought him out because there is an area of the property, as long as I can keep an eye, like the neighbors aren't outside and they can't see the Centennial Trail, I can keep him occupied. But he decided he wanted to play this soccer game too. And Zoe was not having it.
Aww.
Because she was barking. She would, because he would race and because he's faster than her and grab the ball. And she would try to get her little legs to go a little faster, barking at him the entire time until he drops the ball. And then she'll take the ball and bring it back to me. And eventually he just comes back to me and sits on my feet because he was like, I wanted to play, but
she keeps yelling at me.
I know. And it's so funny because he's my biggest dog and he's such a sweet, lovable goober. And he was just like, she was just so mean.
He's sensitive.
It's just so hilarious. He did that when I took him up to hang out with a bunch of other dogs. One of the dogs kept bothering him. It's just a dog that he grew up with and he usually plays with, but just kept barking in his face and moving him around. And he's just looking at him like, what is your deal? And it's so funny because Apollo will protect himself, but he's still just, he's a lover, not a fighter.
So
he just comes to me and you know, just sort of leans into me and I just turn around and, you know, I yell at the other dog and it's like, stop beating up my dog. And the other dog's like, you know, stops. I mean, he's a sweet boy, but, you know, it's just, they have different playing styles. And so
yeah,
it's just, I love how dogs interact with each other. Anyway, so yeah. So I had an acupuncture conference this weekend.
Yes, it was for veterinarians.
And I did not attend any of the sessions. I mean, I could have. I went there to help out Real Mushrooms at their booth, and I just took the breaks to work on my website. The funniest thing that happened was I didn't realize it, but I was writing an article and I was updating an article about mushrooms, and I was writing something about how I prepare mushrooms, and Dr. Rob was standing behind me reading. And then he comes and sits next to me, and he's like, okay, so I was standing over your shoulder reading. And he starts, he's like, so what you want to do? And he gave me this entire thing.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't that anything I wrote was wrong. He just, like, for instance, you know, because I put in there that I saute or roast. He's like, you want to do it for at least 15 minutes. And he's like, you don't want to just chop up the mushroom. You want to chop it up finely. And so it was kind of a weekend of that. And it was so much fun. And so we had a good time together.
That's great. So I was curious, like, these were all veterinarians that do acupuncture?
I feel like it was all veterinarians, and it was a combination of a holistic and integrative. I don't know if they all did acupuncture, because I did get a couple of anti-raw veterinarians. And it wasn't really a raw discussion. It was just sort of like we would be talking and I would bring up, you know, that I make my own dog food, because as I'm explaining how I use the mushrooms, because a lot of them weren't familiar with using mushrooms with pets. So having those conversations, and I had a couple of, raw is very dangerous. And, you know, it's the bacteria. So you're going to make yourself sick and your dogs are going to be sick. And it was so hard for me to say, you know what, I've been doing this for over 10 years. I think I'm good. You know, but I just said, no, I didn't even disagree. I just explain, you know, I tried with one person. I try, you know, explain, like, this is what I did. This is what I do. This, I make sure it's balanced, blah, blah, blah. And they were perfectly fine with that. With the other person, nope, they were full of concern. And I just let them have their concern and just kept going, because it was really quite pointless. I wasn't there to argue or convince anyone, but it was shocking, because you think acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, you're going to be in a room full of like-minded people who believe in feeding fresh food. I didn't get a chance to go into, do you have a problem with cooked food? But I got the sense that it was just specifically the raw.
Oh, okay.
But what's funny is that whenever I do, those questions do come up, I'm always curious to know, how do they feel about, like, Darwin's or Solutions or all of these raw, like, the food premium brands? Yeah, like, are you concerned about them, or is it just the DIYers that are you concerned about? You know, do you somehow feel like we can't do it? But I've never really had that conversation. So, but yeah, that was unusual. But lots of people who did acupuncture on horses, and there are quite a few people who treated horses. I met someone who was a mobile vet, so they did house calls. So it was kind of a nice crowd. It was mostly women. Like, I could probably count the number of men there on one hand, but it was probably like, they said about 100 and something people, but it was primarily women.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. It's one of those where when you see it, it's just like, huh. It was just like, even with all of the vendors, Dr. Rob was the only man.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a fun event. It was a nice weekend. I was exhausted by the end of it. Didn't want to speak to anybody ever again after that.
And, I know that feeling.
And it wasn't even like it wasn't like the pet ones where with the pet parents type of thing. It wasn't as social as that. But it was nice. It was a really cool event. So, yeah.
Well, it was a cool experience. Yeah. Were there any other vendors or brands there that were new to you?
Yes. Okay. So I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's either Chi Dog or is it Chi Dog?
Chi Dog.
Is it Chi Dog? Okay. So yeah. Chi Dog. They were there. They were next to us and they gave me some of their food, because they brought frozen food.
Oh, okay.
And it's cooked. So they were like, this is going to melt. I'm not taking this home. And they gave it to me. So it's thawing in my fridge right now. And so the dog's going to try it. That one was really cool, because it's all done based on food energetics. So they have like, but they do, instead of like the warming, cooling, they do the like elemental. So they have a water recipe, an earth recipe, a fire recipe, but they is by elemental. And I remember that Dr. Judy Morgan on her website has a test where you can take this test and it'll tell you where your dog lands.
But yeah, it's like a constitution or something. Yeah. Do they call it that? Yeah. And
they have a lot of, CheDog has a lot of great data as far as, you know, their handouts and stuff that explain to you what, like even on the packages, if your dog is experiencing this, this, and this, this is what the food is.
Okay.
And type of thing. So I thought it was really cool. So there was that. There was Pet Tao. And I didn't realize this, but they have a freeze-dried food, but they have a canned food as And again, based on food energetics. So they were there. There was a university that's on the East Coast. I think they said Florida, where you go to learn how to do acupuncture. I was considering buying, well, the one book that I wanted to buy was $250.
Oh my God.
The second book that I was considering buying was $125. And I was just sort of like, buy the book, buy food for my dogs. And it's like, and I ended up saying no and buying food for my dogs.
That's the Chi University in Florida?
Yeah. So there is that.
So I had an acupuncture appointment this weekend, and I can tell you that I am earth deficient.
Standard Process was there. Standard Process was there. And RX Vitamins was there. I had a very interesting experience with them. They have all their, what I found disappointing about RX Vitamins was that the person who was there didn't seem to be able to speak to their product line. So that was disappointing because you couldn't really ask her any questions to learn anything more because they had a lot of cool products that I was into. And she would, you know, I was walking around and she was like, hey, would you like to check out this colostrum? But she couldn't tell me anything about like, where is it sourced? And it felt like, you know, where is it? Expos and stuff. Like sometimes they'll just hire someone for the weekend and they'll get like a couple hour course on the product line and then they'll go and represent. It felt like that type of situation. So that was disappointing. But otherwise it was, you know, it was a kind of fun type of fun event, good food. And there was an after hours type of networking thing, but I didn't attend. It was the first night I didn't attend because I had to, my drive to Seattle is about, it can be 45 minutes if it's no one's on the freeway, but if people are on the freeway, it's going to be an hour and a half. And when I drove home Friday, it took me 2 hours to get home.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I left at a little after 3 o'clock and I got home a little after 5 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
5:15. And so it's like, yeah, it's a drive. And it was just traffic. It wasn't like, oh, must've been an accident. Must've been this. No, it was just traffic. But Dr. Rob was like, the networking thing wasn't that big of a deal. And I was like, yeah, I think a lot of people were, it's a long day.
Yeah.
And I think that I start wondering if a lot of people in the pet space are kind of introverts.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
It's just exhausting at the end of a long day. And so, because even on Sunday, people were packing up to leave. Like the booths, we packed ours up. Like I was out of there at noon. But the event didn't end until 2:00. But they were looking at the calendar like, oh, the last break is only 10 minutes. So everyone was like, okay, let's back up. And so people started packing up. And people who were in attendance, they had early flights, so they had to get home. And so by the end of the event, it was probably like at least half of the people were gone. So
yeah, that's usually how it goes with those things. Yeah,
on a Sunday, it's kind of hard. So, but yeah, it was a good event. I'm glad that I went, and it was nice to spend time with Dr. Rob and just soak up his knowledge about, you know, basically mushrooms and CBD oil and just all. I even took pictures of Bella's legs and I was like, look at her legs. They look funny. What do you think about this? And he's so generous with just information because he was emailing me because I would have questions. He's like, oh, there's a study about that. And so he would email me the study And so that was a lot of fun just talking to him.
That's awesome.
From him. So that was great. So yeah, that was it.
So, you know, talking about the foods and the gently cooked and the anti-raw, it was actually making me think of the conversation we had last week with Daniel about the people who were seeding the scientific literature with all that anti-raw information. And it's the same people who were seeding the scientific literature with the DCM literature.
That's so interesting, because when he said they all say the exact same thing, he was so right.
Yeah.
Because they do. They hit on the exact same talking points. And what's interesting is the number of people that when you start asking them why they feel the way they feel, they have no answer for you. You know, they just sort of like, you know, because like one person did tell me that she would get super behind raw if there were actual studies that showed that it worked. And again, I mean, I have so many responses to a comment like that, but I don't have the energy to convince someone. I literally just don't care. I mean, I'm convinced it works for me, and that's what I do.
And honestly, like, let's face it, if there's one study that says it, they're just going to be like, well, there's only one study that says it. There's 715 studies.
Something. Yeah. There's always going to be some. And also it's like one person that I spoke to, she was saying things and she wasn't aware of the current information. And so like she said things like, you know, high protein diets cause kidney disease. And I didn't respond, but behind me, there was a, that's not true. There are whole studies that show that that's not true. I'll be happy to send them all to you. But she was like, all of the arguments that she had, it's like she was given this narrative and that's it. She didn't look into it. She didn't follow up on it. And the thing about it is, I was talking to several of the veterinarians said this, which I knew is, I don't have time. I don't have time to keep up on the latest and greatest of anything. I am busy with my practice and I'm busy with all these things. And it's just sort of like, you know, hey, I get it. But it's like, if someone tells you that something isn't true, shouldn't you?
And I think they think, well, if it's something that's that big of enough a deal, I'll hear about it, right? I'll hear about it from the AVMA. I'm on some email list. And it's like, but again, where is that information coming from?
I mean, that's just it. It's like they're cherry picking the information they want to share. So it's just sort of like, are you going to be aware? And so, yeah, that was disappointing.
I had a funny experience with something like that recently. So, you know, I'm here in Baltimore, and most people probably know about a month ago, we had this horrible thing happen where a ship ran into the Key Bridge and the whole bridge collapsed. And it made like national news. You know, you're talking about traffic. Traffic here has been insane ever since that happened, because that shut down one of the ways you get through the state. Mm-hmm. And so now everybody's coming the other ways that were already busy anyway. So I was talking to somebody who I think she actually lives out in your neck of the woods, like in Washington State. And it was the week that this bridge accident happened. And she's like, oh, where are you? You know, you're in Baltimore. Yeah. And I kept waiting for her, because all week I had had people asking me about it and she never said anything. And like at one point she's like, yeah, I don't really watch the news or anything. I figure if something like big enough happens, like I'll hear about it. And I'm like, well, it's funny you say that, because something really crazy happened here this week. And yeah, and she just had like no idea. I mean, right. And so I just thought that was funny.
I loved it, because not that I'm glad no one got hurt. At least I hope no one got
hurt. Oh, no. Six people were killed.
Really?
Yeah.
For some, I guess that's when I stopped listening to it, was that, you know, because, but I did watch it when it was happening. I don't know if it was in slow motion or not, but every time the cars went across and the boat still,
you're like,
coming,
oh my God.
I'm wondering how are these people, like, what are they thinking, or are they even noticing that the boat is, I mean, the whole thing was so frightening and just, but the conspiracy theories that started coming.
That was insane. Yeah.
It was just completely, it was sort of like, we are so divided as a nation that we will because that's basically what I took away from it. Not that six people died, but that they, that for the next few days, everyone just argued about their various conspiracy theories of what went on. And then eventually something else came up and
the news cycle moves on. Right, right, right.
I mean, it's just astounding. Yeah.
So the police, the highway police that monitor the bridge, they did get a Mayday call from the ship and they were able to shut traffic down to the bridge. However, there was a construction crew doing overnight like pothole repair or whatever, and they didn't have a way to get in touch with them. And so the people who died were part of the construction crew. And the other thing is, so that was not like a main route that I took every day, but it was like an alternate route for me if there was like an accident on one of the other routes. And bridges over water have just always freaked me out. So now I have like a whole new fear to have about driving over bridges. But yeah, it wasn't unusual to see a ship coming that way because that's how they get in and out of the port, you know, of Baltimore. So yeah, I wouldn't think that anybody would just have seen it and been like, oh, that's weird. Unless they were seeing like the lights go on and off thing, if you've seen that video.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think anybody would think it was weird that there was a ship coming, because like that's totally normal. I just keep playing it over. It's like, that was never like a thought in my head.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, just out of the blue. Oh, and by the way, a ship crashed into a bridge. Here's the video. And what's funny is when they talk about it, you feel like, oh, you mean like it just bumped into the bridge or something. When I was watching the video, as I'm watching it, when the bridge starts coming down, I felt like, what was it made of? Toothpicks? Because again,
I mean, it's like 50,000 tons of steel.
I mean, it was so shocking, just absolutely shocking. And I also kept waiting for it to stop, like only the part that it hit would have, but it just kept falling. And it was shocking. And yes, Johan and I were watching that for days, just watching it. Well, probably 2 days is when it was pretty much on the news. And Johan would be like, it's back on. They're doing it in slow motion. And so we sit and watch. And it was, I don't know what I expected.
Like my biggest fears were always like, you know, like if it was raining or if you're in an accident that somebody would like hit you and you'd go over the edge, or if it was like really windy, because sometimes they would have wind restrictions where you weren't allowed to go over a certain speed and you couldn't have like empty tractor trailers go over it because it was like a hazard. So like if it was like windy, that would always freak me out. Like that kind of stuff is what terrified me. Never in a million years was I terrified of the ship knocking the whole effing bridge down.
I will in Portland. Portland is the city of bridges. I don't remember how many bridges there are, but I just know that there's the Steel Bridge, the Broadway Bridge, the Fremont Bridge. There are other ones too, but those are the three ones that took you from northeast to downtown. And I used to have nightmares about the bridges. And when I started driving, I got into an accident on the Steel Bridge, but I was just terrified of bridges. And, I mean, I can ride across them without any, but I was just very careful. And I hydroplaned on water and hit and got into an accident. And oh my I was God. Fine, but it was just like, when you said about going over, that was in my mind. I was absolutely terrified. But another thing that scares me, and it's gone now. I don't know if it's gone. Yeah, I think they tore it down. There used to be a parking garage here in downtown Seattle, where on the upper levels, it was just sort of like this metal rope that was on the edge. You just parked up to it. And I hated that parking garage. And if I parked in it, I parked like into the inside of it, because my worry was being in the car and someone hitting me and me just going over the edge.
Right.
Recently, I don't remember what movie it was, Fast and the Furious. I feel like it might have been Fate of the Eight, where that happened, where a bunch of cars started falling off. And I was just like, oh, that's that garage. That's exactly what would have happened. Because what was down below was just going to be concrete. And I was just, this is like so off topic. But
Hey, we haven't had a catch-up episode in a while.
Okay, so another thing that, and it's funny because, so the whole recent thing with the bird flu that's been in the news brought to mind the canine flu or the mystery virus that was going around. That was all the news and then nothing. And
all the news, all the Instagram reels. Yes, all the worrying. Everything. This is what everyone had an article about it. Yes.
And now, and it's just like, should I be concerned? I remember a lot of the articles, you know, make sure your dogs is vaccinated. And people are like, they're just using this to scare people into going to vaccinate their dogs. It was so much. But it really makes me think that similar to our cold and flu season, dogs have this virus season. And so it was the virus season, dogs got sick, and then it wasn't the virus season. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, this was before the kibble concerns. Yes. It's probably by a month.
It was a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. Before, because I think it was like October, November, whereas the kibble concerns
started in like December.
Yeah. Mid to late December. So it's not like it was a confusion of symptoms. And plus, the symptoms were completely different. But it makes sense that it could be a seasonal and maybe not necessarily every year, but a seasonal thing for dogs that we have to be aware of. But it's interesting to me because when things just fly off and no one talks about it anymore, that's when people stop believing that it's real. I mean, at least that's what I do. And I have to remind myself, just because you didn't see it doesn't necessarily mean it's not real. Just because you don't see Bigfoot doesn't mean he's not wandering around in the woods. But the canine or the bird flu, that was Johan actually brought it up. He's like, they're talking about the bird flu on the news and someone got sick. And then I read in the article that you sent to me that that person had been exposed to the virus and as a farmer. And
yeah,
because it went to the cows and he had just been around his animals. So he had been very exposed to it. So I figure that the average person doesn't have anything to worry about. But I did see someone told me that they were advising people to stop eating eggs.
Yeah, I was curious what would happen with the eggs and the chicken market and things like that. It's always a concern. And especially, I mean, I like here in Maryland, for instance, there's a lot of the factory farming of things. And then they just like kill all of them, you know, like preventively or whatever. And you're just like, what the hell goes on? But yeah, I did hear that it can transmit to dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. Now, my dogs aren't ever really around chickens, but like, for instance, like my vet, right? Like she has chickens at her house and, you know, and you're like, if they're a closed flock, like, are they at risk? Like, I don't know how it works, you know, or how communicable it is, or like, can other animals, like wild animals get it? And like they land and then the chickens get it. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah. And what's interesting is the, cause I saw that, you know, what was it? Pelicans, like a group of pelicans. Was it pelicans or penguins?
Penguins
that got it. And it's just sort of like, well, where did they get it from?
Yeah.
Because they're not flying off places and bringing it back. So, you know, again, is this just, I mean, clearly, it spreads, but I also wonder if it's some type of culling, like nature's way of culling animals in some cases, or if humans brought it to the penguins. I don't know what's going on. But we don't have chickens. And I'm grateful now that we don't have chickens. I don't want them because I don't want the extra work. I just spent a lot of time preparing my garden. And that is so much work. And I'm doing like the bare minimum of gardening. And it is so much work. I don't know how people do, like homesteaders, they do it all. And it's just like, hats off to you. But I do know people who have chickens and they haven't experienced any issues with their chickens, not to say that they won't, but I started cooking my dog's eggs last year.
Yeah.
Not all the way through. I just cook them to cook the whites. And I I don't do it actually because I'm concerned about the biotin blocker. I do it as a way to take the chill off of their food. So so it made me feel a little good because it's like, I don't want to have to not buy eggs.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, I have friends that have chickens. And honestly, the one thing that would really put me off of it is how much death there is. That it's not uncommon for them to lose chickens, whether it's to an animal, to illnesses, to one friend had like these little babies like shipped to her and some of them like died in the shipping process or something. And like she'd get, and I'm like horrified by like just how much death that there is in it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not the one for that. Like,
yeah.
So I have to do a little plug for this week's episode of Believe in Dog. I was approached by this woman who wrote a book about, it's a combination of research and her own experiences with her dog having canine cognitive dysfunction. And, you know, it's also called like canine dementia. And she actually interviewed 50 different like world-renowned experts, including many of the vets who would be on our list of people that we've talked to or, you know, would want to talk to. And she also interviewed human experts and researchers in the field of dementia and Alzheimer's to talk about the similarities between dementia in humans and dementia in dogs. And so, and she put it all together in like a really like reader-friendly, user-friendly way that's not like all research and is like geared towards pet parents. And so it was really interesting to me. Like, for instance, it had never really occurred to me. Like, I knew that that was a thing. And I have one friend in particular who went through that with her dog. But she also had a small dog that was like 14, 15, 16, like was really an older dog. And so I guess I'm always so focused on preventing cancer because that's been so many of my experiences that had never really occurred to me about dementia. And so I was curious if that was something that was on your radar at all.
It is, only because I, again, like you, I know someone that had a dog that at the end of the life suffered with dementia. So with my dog's diet, I add things that support cognitive health. So they, you know, the Daily Dog by Real Mushrooms has the five defenders. It also has lion's mane and cordyceps in it. But with Zoe, I add additional lion's mane to her diet to give her that support, actually, and additional cordyceps to give her that support. I also like to play games with her to get her thinking. When we go on walks, her walks are strictly sniff walks, because I just want her using her head and using her brain, because I know that like for myself, not that I'm suffering from dementia, but I play puzzles, word puzzles, solve, you know, what is it? Find the things, the matchy things, just things that make you, that are known for brain work, because to keep those synapses snapping.
Yeah. I guess what was interesting is when she talks about prevention, a lot of the things that, you know, she distilled from the research and she cites everything too, which, you know, I love. And she, you know, a lot of the things that are on the radar for preventing canine dementia are things like that we would already be doing. Like, we're already paying attention to the diet. We're not feeding processed foods. We're watching how many chemicals we use, you know? And so I was kind of like, oh, well, at least I feel like I'm already doing most of the right things. But honestly, like, it had never been a real thought or concern for me, just because I've been, all my dogs have had some issue with cancer, or, you know, with Penny, it's like, we think that that's what was going on maybe, but we never got like confirmation of that. And so I'm just so focused on that, that like, yeah, it never really occurred to me. And when I started looking into the statistics of it, right, like dogs, like larger breed dogs, like giant breed dogs, can start showing cognitive decline signs at like 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy to think about.
Paulo, you want to go on a sniff walk?
And just, yeah, just how many different like preventive treatments that there are, and then how many you know, and we know it, right? With like, with the mushrooms, with CBD, with all these different things that you can do to help them both like physically and mental support. I mean, even just sometimes things like coconut oil, there's statistics in humans about how that can help. And anyway, it was just really interesting because it was not something that I knew a ton about other than, oh, I do know somebody that dealt with that once. But so it's kind of a deep dive into this woman's story and all the research and things that she did. So
yeah, I wanted to look because I think, CBD Dog Health has a mushroom tincture that's for canine cognitive diseases, nervous symptom, mental and emotional support is their clarity. I'm going to look and see what mushrooms do that they have a list of the mushrooms that are in here. I'm sure that they do. Lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps. Those are the main three mushrooms. There's other ingredients too, but yeah, it's just, it's one, I wish I remembered where I saw this. It was one of those days where I was probably just going down a YouTube rabbit hole and seeing something and scrolling, but something that really resonated with me, and I was going to look more into it, but forgot about it until you just brought it up, was someone mentioned that, you know, Alzheimer's was high in America, along with the rise in like high carb diets and high processed food diets. And they connected the two together, which made me, you know, because the way we think everything we consume, we sort of like look at our dogs like, ha, ha, ha. I wonder if that's related too. So again, like what you felt, I felt good because I feed my dog the fresh food diet. And even though there are carbs, it's not a high carb diet, but
that's one of the things that we talked about in the episode is that Alzheimer's is sometimes called type 3 diabetes because there's such a connection between people who have type 2 diabetes then going on to develop, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's, and that there's definitely a correlation with that. And we were talking about how, like, what affects your body is, you know, like, for instance, if you have plaque in your arteries, like, what causes dementia is plaques in your brain. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all the same thing. And like, your brain's part of the body, you know, and so it can get, the plaques can end up anywhere and you don't know where.
Yeah.
And I was like, just talking some about my grandmother, you know, I said, God willing and the creek don't rise. My grandmother will be 100 in August. She'll turn 100 years old. So she's 99 now.
Wow.
And it's really been in the last like 3 years, I'd say, that like she's gotten very muddled, that, you know, it's more than just, you know, she's old or whatever, you know, and just the real slowdown has happened both physically and mentally, and how she'll like have the good days and the bad days. And, you know, and my mom visits her like all the time in the, you know, like kind of nursing home place where she is now. And, you know, and it's like, sometimes you can just tell like that she's not out there all the way, and just, you know, seeing what that looks like in a person is just like so hard. Yeah. And then to think like, I've heard of people that, you know, like their dog will like get lost in the corner of the room and there's been a couple times with Nino lately where he's like done something that's a little weird. And then I realize like, he's just like sniffing something or like a treat had rolled under something, you know, cause I'm like, oh God, like,
it's happening.
Why is he in the corner of the room? You know?
Did you guys talk about sundowners at all?
Yes. Yeah. And I guess that can be like a symptom of it where it like, it starts throwing off their biological clock. And there's a thing also where similarly, like that they don't know that their body doesn't know that they ate, and they start getting like ravenously hungry all the time because their brain isn't like registering that they're full. And that's kind of in a similar thing with sundowners where it's like their brain isn't registering like the time of day or, you know, things like that. And I was just like, oh wow, I never even heard of that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, Rodrigo, you know, before he left, he slept a lot during the day, but you know, and he slept at night too, but and I wasn't surprised by that. I mean, he was older and he was tired. My cat sleeps a lot too, but he's always slept a lot. And then he has his moments of, you know, running back and forth up and down this hallway or coming to the stairs and harassing the dogs and then running away. But But it is, so it's easy to look at some of these things and discount them as, you know, that's just how they are. And some of them, it's hard. I mean, I'm grateful because, you know, for once in a very long time, I have three healthy dogs. But I'm just so happy that I
enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly. Because it's just like, this 2024 is probably, I'm praying that I make it through this year, which just, it'll be the first year since 2019 that
everybody's been helping.
You always have like little things here and there, but it's just sort of like, you know, no one died. Right. It's just like, just stay alive. I just yell at Bella, stop trying to kill yourself. Stay alive. So yay. Oh yeah. The water bowl.
Oh yeah. Rodney always sharing, you know, these mic drops and then running away. Right.
Right. Is he so funny? Because I was hoping that there was like a link to the study, but I didn't see one in the post. And he just said that it was talked about more in their book. But the idea that metal bowls have more dangerous bacteria than plastic, when for years, a lot of people would use plastic bowls because they hold on to the bacteria.
And, or like the BPA and stuff like that.
Yeah. And okay, so I learned something new and I learned it at this conference. See, it's fun just talking to veterinarians. That canned food, I think I learned it at this conference. I feel bad because I feel like I'm going to say this and someone's going to hear it and be like, I told you that. So now I don't remember anymore, but it was recent that canned food isn't, I'm pretty sure it was at the conference, but I'm going to stop doing that. Is not always the safest food. That pouched food, like, you know, like cat food, the pouched food is probably safer than the canned food because sometimes the liner of the can has BPA.
Yeah.
And people don't realize. And I did not know this. So it was like a mic drop moment for me where I was like, what? So that brought me back to Rodney's post because I was like, oh, yeah. So I guess it could be, you know, it could be an issue either way. I wash my dog's dishes. They eat out of ceramic dishes. So I wash those every day, either by hand or in the dishwasher. And their water dishes get washed, I would say at least once a day, when I have to fill it in, when I have to fill in water, you know, when you fill the side and it feels a little slick, it's like, I just can't, I have to wash it. So I usually wash it. And I also put a capful of colloidal silver in their water when I'm not adding teeth and just to keep the water fresh and clean. So we never experienced the slime.
Yeah. Yeah. We wash ours. Yeah. Pretty much every day or, you know, every time we refill it.
Yeah. And then my cat has a fountain and the fountain has filters. And oh, if you let that filter go, it is just absolutely disgusting. It's black.
Oh my
and
God.
Just nasty. So it's like just to think that that's what's going on and that's what it's catching in the water. And we live on a well. We have good water here. So, yeah. So it's, I keep that clean. I think I changed the filter every 2 to 3 months, but the first time I got the fountain, I let it go for longer. And, it was a while and yeah, it was nasty. So I just, and that's, you know, keeping it, I guess I always thought that running water kept, since it wasn't stagnant, the bacteria wouldn't grow. And plus, cats tend to drink more water when it's running. So my dogs, they'd have no problem.
Oh, yeah. None whatsoever at all.
The worst is that my dogs, they will drink out of, I've had to start now that it's, it's warming up, but warming up is not even in the 60s yet. But it's still like for Apollo, he gets hot with his big, heavy coat. And I have to now start bringing water with us on our walks because if he sees a puddle, he will go for it and drink out of it. And I don't know what's in that puddle.
So Nessie, a couple times, has drank out of the toilet. because we got back from a walk and she was hot and I put her on the bedroom side of the gate and, you know, there isn't a bowl on that side. So she went and drank out of the toilet. And I'm like, so now I'm like, oh, wait, this needs to get a water break before they can put them out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've learned to keep the waters because it's so easy just to go through the day. And because they don't drink a lot, because they have so much moisture in their food, it's easy to just forget. But yeah. We have a water bowl outside, which I have to bring it in and wash it because it'll get, I don't know what it, algae will start growing in it. And so I actually have some type. Someone sent me this really cool water bowl that was like a fountain that you could hook up to a hose. And it has to be somewhere in this house. So I hope it is, or I got rid of it. And I probably got rid of it. But anyway, I wanted to get a fountain for outside for the dogs because I thought that would be nice just to keep it because their dog yard is right next to a spigot outside. So it would be something easy to do. But for inside, I'm afraid of fountains and outlets.
That makes sense.
My cat isn't knocking his fountain over or anything like that. So it's not, but with the dogs, with their running, you know, parkour, I just imagine the house burning down because, and I'm sure it doesn't work that way, but that's just my head. Just like I never thought, you know, I'm sure that, you know, no cars fell off that, you know, building in Seattle, but it didn't stop me from having nightmares about it.
Nessie is definitely on the parkour track. There's times where she'll be on my left side, you know, I'll be like laying on the sofa, she's on the floor, like next to me on the left side, and she'll be like, hey, how are you? And the next thing I know, she has like levitated and is now on my right side, snuggling between me and the snowfa. And I'm like, I don't know how she got there. She just levitated like right over me.
Apollo takes the path of least resistance. So he'll jump over the back of the sofa to go to where he wants to go. And he's done that since he arrived. And he's the only of our dogs who has ever done it. I remember when we first got Bella, she tried to do it. And fell and hurt herself and was crying. And so she got lots of love, but and she never did it again. But it was just like, no, I don't think, even though she has long legs, she is not a leaper the way Apollo is. Apollo can do, I mean, if he wanted to, I mean, even with our yard, I think if he truly wanted to get out of our yard, he might. If he wasn't afraid of the wobbly of the fence, he would be able. I think if it were like a straight flat fence, I think he would have no problem jumping and climbing the wall and getting out with no problem. I mean, it's just, yeah, parkour. He loves it.
So I will say I'm annoyed at myself that I didn't think to take a before picture of Nino, but he's been on the Mios for about a little over a month now, and he's definitely gotten muscle tone back, you know, in his back legs, because he had been looking like a little skinny, like with his legs. And I'm like, oh, he's got some beef back on him now.
That's good. Yeah. So Zoe is more active, more playful. I mean, she hasn't played soccer with me in probably a couple of years. And now she's just like, she's demanding to go outside and play. So yesterday she was like, you know, because I usually take the girls out when Apollo goes for his walk, and she was not happy that I did not do that. And so I had to stop and go outside for 15 minutes and just kick the ball around with her. And then she was like, okay, I'm all right now. But yeah, she is doing really well. And, you know, our walks are getting a little longer because we were down to probably a quarter mile walk with her and then up to a mile. And a few days ago we went on a mile and a half walk. So it's just like, oh, this is good. And so she's not up for the, this was of course, in 2020, she and I would go on 5 to 7 mile walks. So she's not up for that, but you know, I'm happy with the mile and a half or, you know, so we'll do that. And then she, you know, she comes inside and chills and then we go out and we wander around the property and she can do that, you know, all day long. She's doing really good. But she, yeah, she's doing so good. She didn't have any muscle wasting. It was more what I'm seeing is the improved energy and mobility. So she likes it. And I went back and forth between, I've done the regular and the joint.
Okay.
And so now I'm just going to go back and forth because I like them both. And the joint, it comes in a container. So I just save the container and I just mix the regular into it. So it's all into one container.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the container is, you were on the email, the container I think is seven ounces, but it's 7 ounces of product. But when you open it, there's plenty of room left.
Right.
So I had a little bit left of the muscle. And so I just poured it in there. It took some working with a knife to get it to mix
to stir it all up. Yeah.
And stuff, but I got it mixed up and yeah. And the dogs, I give it to all three dogs because I figure, he said, 5 years old, Apollo's 5. And I do everything for Bella because her legs, she just has funky little long skinny legs, and her sibling they're not quite sure what was going on, like whether it's neurological or just simply joint, but because we don't know if it was just one puppy in the litter and maybe the other puppies might develop it over time. I'm leaning towards it was just one puppy because I did speak to someone who has a puppy from an earlier litter, and the only things, we compared notes and they both have anxiety, but as health issues, he hasn't noticed any health issues. So that gives me a little hope, but I still want to just give it to her just in case to give her the support. So I just don't give her as much as I do with Zoe and Apollo.
Gotcha.
Hi, sweetie. Hello. And she's right here because apparently I must be talking to her, so this is my sad moment. So I'm trying to build Bella's confidence. And over the past month, she hasn't slept with me 2 times. And it breaks my heart. Because aww. I'm just sort of like, she usually sleeps like right here next on my neck. I mean, and it's funny because she's a 55-pound dog. She curls up into this tiny little ball and she's like right next to me. And one night she slept on her, I shared a picture of her sleeping on the double stacked round beds, holding her triceratops. One night she slept there and one night she slept on a sofa. And it's just sort of like, on one hand, I'm really happy that she has this confidence and she isn't like right next to me. Cause like, if I shift, she will shift. And there are times where I'm on the very edge of the bed because she's like, nope, you are not leaving my side. And so I'm happy that she's getting more confidence, but I was just like, it was kind of cute.
So Nessie about gave me a heart attack one day last week. So at night, Nino sleeps in bed with us and we have the gate up. So Nessie, at first she was in the crate at night, but then when we started letting her out of the crate, she usually sleeps on the sofa. And I make like a little, every night I like put the blankets in this little like cozy circle and she'll kind of curl up right in the middle of the circle. And that's kind of been her little sleeping spot. So in the mornings I get up and I'm, brushing my teeth and all that stuff. And sometimes I'll hear her like, she's like, oh, she's up. And she'll like meet me right by the gate, or because, she's so obsessed with if there's rabbits in the yard. Sometimes she's already at the back door, trying to check out what's going on in the yard. So I think it was on Friday. I come out like she's not at the gate and I start to walk over to the sofa because I hadn't, I can usually hear her tags jingling if she's like at the back door or something. And I hadn't heard her. So I like go over to the sofa and like, she's not there and the lights are still off. So I'm kind of like, oh, every once in a while she'll fall asleep on like the other part of the sofa. And I'm like looking like, oh, she's not there. And then I'm like, is she in the dog bed? Like, no, she's not there. And now like my heart is like dropping and I'm like, oh my God, is she by the back door? And I run to the back door and she's not there. And now I'm like, Nessie, Nessie. And I'm like trying to flip all the lights on and she was in the crate. And I had walked right by her, but I so didn't expect her to be in there because I have never once seen her sleep at night in the crate since we stopped making her sleep at night in the crate. And now she's done it a few times recently. And so like that first day, I think I'm like, where did she go?
I've had that with both Apollo and Bella, because we used to, the table that I'm sitting at is a high table. So we had Apollo's crate. Johan had to go buy a crate for him when he brought him home. And so we had Apollo's crate here. And so we kept it under the table when Apollo joined us so that we can keep him in the crate. But we just kept it. I brought it back out. I brought it back out when we got Bella. And I made it all cozy, similar to what you were talking about. And it would be funny because I would be walking. I would not, no one ever went in the crate. But sometimes, you know, all of a sudden, Apollo would just be chilling in the crate. And it's just like, did you need a break from people? I mean, what you doing in there? Yeah. And same thing with Bella. She would be in there passed out sleeping. And it would just, and it wouldn't be all the time. It would just be random. And it was just like, you know, I'm looking around. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, she's in there. But,
and it's a good thing, right? Like you want him to like go in there, but it was just so funny. I had never seen her do that before. We've had exciting news around here. Other than Nino and Nessie just hanging out together, our backyard has finally dried out. We haven't had any standing water in our backyard for like 8 days. It's like very exciting.
Congratulations.
And so I have been just kind of letting her go out in the yard and do her thing. I don't have to take her out on the leash or anything. And so that has made my life a lot easier. The neighbors aren't like, why is this lady in skull pajama pants and a pink plaid flannel shirt and big men's boots first thing in the morning?
A friend of mine has a new puppy, and we were walking around with the dogs, and the puppy, golden retriever puppy, found a mud puddle and just laid flat out, you know, like Superman in the mud puddle. And it was so cute. So, so cute. I was glad that I didn't bring my dogs up that day, because it's like, I don't need you guys picking the one up. But I mean, they have a small pond on their property, and every single time we walk past it, Apollo's in the pond. I mean, he is a swimming dog. He just loves to swim. He hasn't gotten in our pond yet. So I don't think our pond is ready for swimming, but he loves to swim.
We have never had any water dogs. Our dogs have always been hydrophobic.
Yeah, we've had two. Scout loved to swim, and Apollo loves to swim. Bella, when Apollo went to the pond, she went running after him. We thought she was going to go in too, but she stopped right on the edge and then sort of like,
nope,
she wants to, but she's not sure. I mean, she'll go in like up to her legs in our pond in the summertime, but we haven't seen her swim yet. So we're waiting. We're going to wait and see. Maybe this will be the year.
I will say our old gal Kahlua, she was our CCL tear dog, and we did not do surgery with her for a whole variety of reasons, and we did canine rehab with her, so she actually did get in the pool. Like, it wasn't just the underwater treadmill, it was actually like the pool where they would have her like swim with the woman and, you know, the vest on and stuff, and she actually did really well. It, you know, like when she was kind of like forced and not given an option, she seemed to enjoy it. But if given the option, and certainly not at bath time, like she did not enjoy that. That was it's the closest we've come, and it was only like a handful of times.
Yay.
All right. Looks like that's all we've got.
Until next time.
See you later.